There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 685, July 12th, 2015. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. I say it's time for some Lipton tea and British Grand Prix. And back to you now.
Nasser, on today's program, Williams not ready to win. Ferrari will keep Kimi, trust me. And LCH feels sorry for McLaren and has shed a tear. Stay tuned for Motorsports Mondial with the King, and we've got 50 words from the F1 Weekly Familia on the forum about the British Grand Prix. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you. I really enjoyed the race and looking forward to the next event. So life is good.
Good for you. I figured you, since you like LCH, you pretty much love this season.
Well, you know, I like any great driver. I mean, I love the Kimi Raikkonen of McLaren days. And, you know, when talent is there, you have to appreciate it.
I understand everything. But Fernando's there. He's got talent.
Absolutely. More than just talent. I mean, incredible. You know, some of the races he won. You know, I'll tell you that race he won in Germany when he was with McLaren over Massa. That was machismo. And his victory in Valencia in a street race coming from 14th. I mean, this is some serious, serious talent here, you know.
I understand. I guess I shouldn't complain too much because I have my memories, Nasser.
That's good.
So good. Oh, the memories. So there you have it. I'm over it.
Okay. So what do you think about the quali?
The quali? Very exciting. Yes. The only problem is it wasn't Fernando on pole position. My only gripe about qualifying.
Well, you know, talking of LCH, he is now in some very heavy-duty company. Pole position number 46 for his home Grand Prix has put him on the third on the all-time list behind Michael Schumacher and Ayrton Senna, and not bad for a 30-year-old from Steven Age.
Not bad for somebody who's got le package.
Oh, absolutely. With no package, I mean, you know, talking of package, it's amazing what it will do under your bootay. I mean, same Lewis Hamilton had a hard time winning in the VTEL era not so long ago. And the same Seb is now supremely delighted to just get on the podium. And he's basically half a second adrift of Bradley Boys and Silver Arrows. So you have to have the equipment, the tools of the trade.
No, I remember when Lewis Hamilton was complaining about Red Bull and VTEL, and it was just, you know, awful for him.
Yeah, of course. You know, winner is going to feel lousy if he cannot win or even come to the podium.
I'm already planning the retirement party, you know, the whole thing, the size of the paella and all that.
Yeah, I just, the way things are going with Mercedes and other teams, I would hate to see Fernando Alonso go out of racing with only two titles. I mean, this is the guy who dethroned Michael Schumacher and then defended the title against him.
But unfortunately, time is your worst enemy. I mean, you're only in that window of opportunity so long, just like Kimi Raikkonen. He will retire with just one championship. Fernando will retire with two, and it is what it is. McLaren is going to take years to get back to where they need to be. The Honda thing, I know they thought maybe by 6 months they could be mid-pack. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen, and this is very sad for motor racing.
It's terrible, and I'm sure people at the front of the spear, well, not everybody, but I'm sure they wish they were fighting with some of the best drivers in the world that are on the grid right now. But unfortunately, this turn of events at McLaren has rendered them useless, I believe, for at least three years.
Yeah, it with the restriction on development and testing, this is going to be a long haul. This will really be a test of how patient Ron Dennis can be.
And that's the biggest problem. And I think McLaren got a little too excited and forgot. And I think Honda forgot, too, that in the 80s and 90s, the amount of testing that was allowed was huge. The development was huge. With the rules the way they are today, and Fernando Alonso and Machismo commented on them, with the rules the way they are, the development literally, instead of weeks or months, now takes years.
Yeah, and plus, you know, with all the new complex technology they have, it's just like, well, I think it's just, I think Honda has written a bit more of some ginger teriyaki than they can take right now. But
yes,
it's a strong team. I mean, in the previous eras, you know, in the 60s they came, and then, of course, they were winning with McLaren. They were not overnight success in any of those previous operations, but this really needs to get going, you know. I mean, if they have a fast engine that blows up all the time, at least Ron can say we have the speed. But this does not have the speed. It does not have the reliability. And right now, since they're only supplying McLaren, we really don't know how good the McLaren chassis is. It's, you know, in their previous years, they were not winning a lot of races.
No, exactly, because they've lost a lot of personnel off to other teams. But like I said, this McLaren-Honda team will benefit, let me put it this way, Kevin Magnussen and some of the young drivers that are coming up that will be in Formula One long enough to see McLaren become a winning and world championship winning team. But it's not going to happen in Fernando's or Jenson Button's time. It's just impossible.
Yeah, it's just, they're not going to catch up, you know, 2 seconds to anybody in a matter of a few weeks. That's just not going to happen. But, you know, going back to the LCH pole position, it was the 20th consecutive pole position for Mercedes, second only to the record right now, 24, for Williams in the Renault glory days of 1992 and 93. I thought that would make you happy.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, the memories. So,
did you receive or have breakfast with the... What's her name?
Desiree?
No. What's her name?
Connecticut Kid?
No. Barbara Streisand.
I love Barbara Streisand.
She used to sing about memory.
Yeah, memories, the way we were. Thank you. And that's what Fernando is going to be playing pretty soon. So the old Barbara Streisand records and maybe some, you know, James Brolin, Marcus Welby, MD, shows on television. It is what it is. Retirement must be planned so everybody can be comfortable. He'll call Fisichella over. Jarno Trulli will come over with maybe some jalapeno poppers.
Well, you know, for a guy who had moved to Switzerland to save on taxes to go back to Oviedo, saying I can afford to pay the taxes, which was very nice of him. This man must have made tons and tons and tons of money. So I don't think you will see him on the side of Oviedo a road saying we'll work for, you know, Williams or Benetton.
I agree. No, I think he'll probably own he'll get into the Tour de France. I know he has a cycling team. He'll be fine. He'll have children, little Fernandos. Maybe baby Fernando will be ready by the time McLaren is competitive.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, see, there's always something to look forward to, Nasser.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have hope always.
Exactly, because without hope, then all of a sudden, my purpose on F1 Weekly begins to fade away like an old soldier.
Yeah, there you go.
British qualifying, unfortunately, not enough rain for me on qualifying, and not enough rain. Well, at least we got some rain in the Grand Prix. That was exciting. But yet, I'm beginning to think, watching Mercedes, I believe that even if they started from the back of the grid, they would finish 1-2.
Quite possible.
I think it's possible, and I think it's very possible because they are so, so quick. I mean, even Ferrari now, who looked like the team that might be able to reel them in. It's not going to happen. Williams with the Mercedes package, their beautiful staff, look like they might be able to reel them in, but it's not going to happen. Trust me, Nasser, I know everything.
Yeah, I'm sure. You made a comment that Kimi staying at Ferrari. Why do you say that?
Oh, because, I mean, we've already seen Arrivé Bene saying he feels sorry for Kimi. Kimi is going to stay at Ferrari till the end of the season. Next year, we'll see. But Ferrari today is not the Ferrari of the past where people were fired mid-season. Or the Renault of the past where you saw Flavio Briatore can people in the middle of the season. Ferrari doesn't do that anymore. They're going to stay because he was a world champion with Ferrari. They have a certain loyalty and love. We call it the spaghetti world.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Lardo. Well, you know, time will tell if Kimi will be seen racing at Monza or Martinsville in 2016. According to an Italian newspaper, a decision has been made and Kimi's dishes are done. I think at Monza, this is just my feeling, that at Monza, Ferrari will give Kimi the same treatment they gave to Schumacher in 2006. And before Schumacher got to the press room, Ferrari had given press release copies to the journalists announcing the arrival of Raikkonen to replace Schumacher. So I have a feeling something like this is coming.
That's very possible. I didn't like the way Schumacher was pushed away, and I'm sure he didn't either.
Yeah, well, you know, the sticking point was they told him, we will decide who the teammate will be, not you and Willy Weber, and that's where the problem was.
That is a big problem, especially since he brought them 5 world championships. I don't know.
I'll tell you, there was a report, a news item some years ago, and I'm not sure if it's correct, but this person was, journalist was convinced it is correct. Apparently, at one time, Luca Montezemolo had requested Jean Todt, when they were all at Ferrari, to go and sign Mika Hakkinen to be Schumacher's teammate. This is before 2006, I'm sorry. And, you know, the whole, the clan there, Michael Schumacher, Willy Weber, Jean Todt, Ross Brawn, they were just there for Michael Schumacher. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
And apparently, after a few weeks or a month or so, this Jean Todt informed Luca Montezemolo that we contacted him and he has already signed with McLaren for more years, only for Luca to find out down the road that he had not signed for McLaren at that time. So there was a lot of backwater pushing going on.
No, you're right. But speaking of Kimi Raikkonen, he out-qualifies Sebastian Vettel for the British Grand Prix. So he is digging down deep to keep his employment intact.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest surprise for me from that qualifying session.
It was. I thought that was the big surprise. With Kimi Raikkonen qualifying in 5th, of course, we had the second row with the Williams bros, also Daniel Kvyat with the Red Bull Renault Power, made it to 7th. I thought that was impressive. Toro Rosso, Carlos Sainz Jr. in 8th. Outstanding. Nico Hülkenberg definitely out-qualifying Sergio Perez, who could not get out of Q2. Maldonado, we will mention in the race, is back in town, which made me very, very happy. I thought that was exciting. But even Marcus Ericsson and Felipe Nasser, you know, they looked so good at the beginning of the season, and now Sauber is starting to lose their certain je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, that's very true. And talking of Kvyat, you know, I think he got a memo from Dr. Marco that you need to up your game, because some of the races earlier in the season where he did not really have a good time or a performance. So he's coming alive now.
I agree. And it's starting to look like Kvyat, now with some of the upgrades to the Red Bull, the car might be more comfortable to him than it is to Ricciardo. And now Ricciardo might be texting Vettel.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like this Red Bull. How long is Kimi going to last? Put in a good word for me with Arrivé. You'd be surprised.
I don't know if Sebastian Vettel has a contract where the teammate has to be approved by him. I don't think Ferrari is going to play. You know, these people, the new people, Arrivé Bene and Sergio Marchionne, these people mean business. They may not, I mean, in case of Marchionne, he may not know a lot about Formula One, but if you read his, what he's saying, the guy means business. I don't think he has much time for what you call emotions and memories when it comes to business matters.
That's true. I agree with that. They're much better than Montezemolo and Domenicali. I think they had way too much attachment to the past. And now I think with this clean slate, I believe Kimi is definitely finishing the season. But the question of him being there next year, it would be hard to believe.
Hard to believe he stays there in 2016 or go?
That he stays. I think he's gone, but I do know that they will respect him and let him finish the season, and there will be a little retirement party and a gold watch.
Well, I don't think they want to pay this guy $25 million twice for not driving for us. That would be a disaster.
Correct. And I don't think Kimi Raikkonen will be able to find a seat once he is dropped by Ferrari.
Yeah, no, he says if he's not going to be, there's nothing available, so he's out of Formula One. If that happens, and I tell you, you know, the guy that will really fit in with Ferrari is Jenson Button.
You're right. He's a pleasant, fun, loving person.
And, you know, he's from Britain, and there's a lot of passion in England for Ferrari and Ferrari cars. And, you know, he's proven a winner, world champion, when he has the right vehicle, which everybody needs. I don't know if he will go there, but I think it will be either Jean-Éric Vergne, who's already signed with Ferrari, or one of these, you know, Nico Hülkenberg, or some people are saying that the team would not put two Germans at Ferrari, but, you know, it really doesn't matter if both are very good.
I think Button would be good, and he likes to load up on carbs anyway, so there you have it.
Yeah.
So, no, qualifying for me, not that exciting, especially since we have another Mercedes front row. I was disappointed, especially with both Jenson Button and Fernando Alonso at the bottom with their friends and family, Manor Racing. It's very exciting.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that two world champions are in a car that when they come to Q3, that's an achievement. That's very, very sad.
Well, you know what I do?
Uh-huh.
Every time I watch a Formula One now, I pretend that this is a reverse grid.
Oh, great for you.
Yeah, it's the only thing I can do to cope with this travesty.
Yeah, they're always on the podium if you look at from the bottom.
Exactly. Anyway, are we done with qualifying? Do you have any final thoughts about LCH and his records?
No, I cannot wait for the race to start, the lights to go off. Let's go, man.
Let's go, man, because that's what happens. The lights go out, and the Williams of Massa and Bottas nip past Hamilton and Rosberg from the start. Massa, starting from third, moved in between the two Mercedes to seal the lead. Button is off at the first turn. His day is over. The safety car is out. What do we see? We see two Lotuses gone. The car, Romain Grosjean, Pastor Maldonado. Who knows what was going on, some shenanigans, but bingo! Lap one, safety car!
The sad part is Button was taken out by his teammate, obviously not
purposely, because his teammate was side-banged and went whoop, whoop, whoop. Fernando never puts a wheel wrong, Nasser.
Yeah, most of the time you're correct.
Exactly. Pastor Maldonado, I don't know. He thought he had a puncture. He thought it was just some casual event. But, I don't know, Grosjean and Maldonado collided at the opening corner. There seemed to be some coming together of the two McLarens. Of course, not Fernando's fault. But there you have it. What can you do? At least Fernando goes into the pits, gets a new nose. And, okay, not only is McLaren uncompetitive, but the design of the new nose looks like it takes a long time to change it.
Yeah, they had some issues there. And, you know, what was really amazing on the opening lap, four cars involved, three of them are out of the race, and not one person is blaming Pastor Maldonado for this. That was incredible.
I was very disappointed. I was hoping that Verstappen, even though he had nothing to do with it, would blame everybody for that wreck, even Pastor, because Pastor is always at fault, and I'm sure he was at fault this time. We have to talk about the Williams. What a fantastic start. You know what that start reminded me of?
Tell me.
Fernando and the Renault in like 06.
No, sir. You know what it reminded me of?
Mm.
Fernando and his then teammate LCH at Malaysia 2007.
Machismo.
Yeah. That was it. Yep. And to see these cars go by from onboard camera. This was fantastic opening lap.
It was fantastic, and I love those memories, Nasser. The way we were.
The way we were.
So, yeah. Lap four, Massa sets the fastest lap. 0.7 seconds ahead of Bottas. And, of course, that dicing at the beginning on the first lap between Massa, Bottas, and Hamilton was fantastic, and Rosberg looked a little lost.
Yeah, he did, and I was very surprised that, you know, Lewis Hamilton, normally you could take it, I mean, you don't win a race on the first lap or first corner, but I'm always concerned with him that, you know, he might tangle with somebody, and if he gets out of a race, you know, Rosberg is winning. So I was kind of surprised at how he was trying to take the lead right at the start.
Yeah, not only that, but when the safety car comes in on lap four and Hamilton's attempts to make a move on Massa, he goes wide off the track, slips behind Bottas, and then Max Verstappen now beaches the Toro Rosso. He's in the gravel, which you don't see that much anymore because now all those runoff areas are paved. But he's, you know, he almost felt like a little Schumacher-esque in trying to get the marshals to push him. You started seeing his arms going in that direction, but no, those guys don't do that anymore. They're unionized. They're not paid to push those guys. So that was a big bummer for the Toro Rosso.
Yeah, Max is the only driver to start on hard tires, and he is blaming mixture of cold tires and a gust of wind, which caught him off guard for his crash, you know, after the restart.
Exactly. Massa leads on lap five, Bottas, Hamilton behind in third, and Rosberg in fourth. Fascinating, fascinating, fascinating. And it's interesting, but we got Verstappen, Grosjean, Maldonado, Button, and Felipe Nasr out. Alonso, though, is still in the Grand Prix, Nasr. That is important.
Yes, it is very important. What was your thinking when it was a Williams 1-2 and had the race stayed dried? Do you think they would have won the race?
Well, the problem is let's go to lap 10 anyway. Bottas wants Williams to allow him to pass Massa and move up front. He thought he had more pace. The problem, we know that Felipe Massa is almost psychologically scarred by moving over and letting somebody pass him. He has the Rubinho syndrome. So they are frightened to death to even mention it, to whisper the P word.
Well, you know, I was hoping that Mr. Rob Smedley will not say to Massa what he said to him at Hockenheim Ring in 2010, and that would have been totally devastating to Felipe's morale and credibility. And if you recall, there was a race last year where they had sent a radio message to Massa to move over, and he did not respect the order.
Exactly. So now they actually have, they're under doctor's orders from his psychiatrist to never say the P word. So it didn't happen. Bottas was not happy about that, being the younger driver, since now we refer to Felipe Massa as the old man of the sea, and it's no longer Rubinho. But it was very, very interesting, you have to admit.
Oh, no, fantastic. And the thing is, you know, when the team, last thing you want to see is you're leading 1-2 and somebody, one of them is trying to pass and they take both out. I mean, what a disaster that would have been.
I agree. Lap 14, the Mercedes garage are getting set in the pits. And guess what? It was a facsimile thereof, a faux pit.
You know,
they were the pretenders for a moment.
Yeah, you know, I was under the impression this was not allowed.
Aha!
They must have changed the rule.
The FIA is clamping down. They sent out a memo to Toto. And they said, no, no.
No, no to Toto. That's pretty interesting.
Thank you. So, yes, I understand the fake maneuvering. But when you're, like, 2 seconds faster than everybody else, you're winning in the championship, you're blowing everybody out of the water, you're getting the front row in every race, do you need a fake pit stop?
No, I don't think so. But, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
Ah, we call that le shenanigans. Lap 17, Ricciardo is now losing power, and it looks like it could have been a Renault issue. But he reboots and continues. It's sort of one of those things. Lap 18, Fernando Alonso, El Machismo de España, comes in for his second stop and changes tires. Pretty exciting, huh?
Absolutely, sir.
Ah, poor McLaren. You know, Raikkonen did have a little issue fighting the Sauber of Marcus Ericsson. I thought that was a lot of laughs.
Yeah, there is a lot of good racing these days behind the Mercedes cars.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. There's some, I mean, that is the Grand Prix, because at first, at the beginning of this race, I thought that the presence from the sky above were coming down to give me a 1-2 Williams win. And then I drank some coffee and splashed water in my face, and I realized these people have no chance.
You know, my thought when they were leading and it was dry, I just had an inkling that this would be Williams' day if weather stays the way it is, because I think they would have won the race if it had stayed that way.
I thought it was very, very interesting. And on lap 21, Bottas is leading for a moment. He makes a stop. The Finn doesn't. It's a great stop by Williams, but where does he come out? Hamilton leapfrogs him. Unbelievable. The stop by Mercedes, I think it was like 2.3 seconds, was so fast. This is where Mercedes excels. They don't need to be doing dummy stops. They are top of the line right now. And that was very impressive. And you could see the air being pushed out of Felipe Massa's chest. It was sort of sad.
Yes. But, you know, by leading his home Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton has now passed Jackie Stewart's record of leading 17 consecutive races. And after winning his 38th Formula One race, Lewis Hamilton is probably going to equal or pass number of wins for Senna, which is 41 victories. And as Steve Matchett said during the Colley telecast, I don't know if you watched that, he said that anytime you mention the Senna name, you are talking something special. And I think we all remember the post-race interview after Michael Schumacher had equaled Senna's number of wins by winning the 2000 Italian Grand Prix. It was something special. And you know which press conference I'm referring to.
I agree. And I have to admit, I'm not sure who made the decision for Hamilton to come in a little bit early and get that tire change onto the hard compound. But it was very impressive when he leapfrogged Williams.
Yeah, it was actually his own decision. And he, in post-interview, he said, you know, it's the first time in his F1 career that he was able to make a decision based on what he thought was going to happen. And she actually even referred to Jenson Button making a decision like that. I think that was in Australia with McLaren when he won.
Yeah. Lap 22, Hamilton's pulling away at the front now. And Rosberg has had to swallow a bitter pill because he's in fourth still. And he's actually scratching his head and having visions of Monaco. Very, very interesting. So once the pits happened, you could tell that Mercedes were going to take this over. And of course, Rosberg in the Mercedes is eventually going to pass these guys up. Interesting, interesting. Fernando Alonso is having a decent race.
Yeah, but you know, Nico Rosberg's charge to pass the Williams and close up to LCH was very impressive. Just when it looked like that he will not be on the podium, which would have been first time this season. So he did put a good performance pass the Williams.
Very impressive. You know, he's got the package. Rosberg's problem is only one problem, LCH.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Rubinho had one problem, Eddie Irvine had one problem. And just the way it goes, you know.
Yeah. Lap 30, the rain now looks to be about 15 to 20 minutes away. We're all anxiously waiting. And when we saw those umbrellas pull out, I was thinking, Fernando, he can do it. Then I woke up. I sort of had a little nap there. You never know. It was exciting. Oh, and by the way, Ricciardo is out of the Grand Prix. Some kind of mechanical issue, which is what they say now. You don't know what's happening. I prefer huge kablamos and smoke.
Yeah, that looks pretty dramatic.
Yes. We have a great battle between Carlos Sainz Jr. and Perez, both locking up in the battle for ninth. Absolutely outstanding. I love this stuff. Everybody's anticipating the rain. And this is the interesting thing, is I think the fact that Ferrari brought in Kimi Raikkonen too early really ruined his race.
Yeah, and I don't think he was a happy camper, but, you know, nobody knows because he's not going to say anything.
I agree. Lap 38, Hamilton has a 7.3-second advantage over Felipe Massa while Bottas is being urged to stay out there by the Williams. There's heavy rain in certain parts of the track, which is making for some great racing for the viewers. Another good was, please. Hamilton opts to stay out on lap 39 on the same tires. Vettel takes on Raikkonen and passes his Ferrari teammate to move up to fifth. Raikkonen shoots off down to the pits, obviously feels it's too slippery out there. He's banking on being more rain, and Alonso has already put in those intermediates. McLaren has nothing to lose doing anything like that, so it's pointless. I think Alonso is going to get into the points simply because of attrition in this Grand Prix. And now the rain is beginning to dry. It's not coming down. Raikkonen is staying out there on intermediates, but he's butchering them to death. He came in too early, and the whole podium spot is going to shift, and we're going into the vortex of F1 Weekly and Clark Rogers, which is very, very interesting to see the Williams miss out on this podium.
Yeah, good start. We've improved really the starts now, and hopefully it won't be the last one like that, but really enjoyed it.
I think the fans really enjoyed it as well, but watching the guys, you guys, duking it out, how hard was it when you got that order to stay behind to actually obey that?
Really hard, obviously. It's I had one or two opportunities when I could have done it, but when you hear it's not allowed, you need to respect it.
But then the team changed their mind, and so actually it is okay. So you must have been sitting in the cockpit thinking, make up your mind.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah, when they're told it's okay, then I never had that kind of opportunities when I had in the beginning. Not ideal, but what was positive that we had really strong pace in the beginning compared to Mercedes, so that was good.
Do you think you could have won that race if you'd have managed to get through Massa and the team had worked to your strengths?
It's difficult to say afterwards for sure. More could have been could have been possible today, I think, with doing some things differently.
Will you have to have a meeting after this race to talk about it and debrief?
Well, we always have a meeting after the race. And
will it be slightly more heated than usual?
No, I think we're all adults. I think we can speak straight to each other and be honest. And we need to go through it. We need to find out what we could have done better and do it next time.
Yeah, you know, what could have been a 1-2 was not even a podium finish. That's pretty sad.
That was pretty sad to see that start of the Grand Prix and then for them to have to accept that they can't even do a third place on the podium because Sebastian Vettel, of course, timed his pit stop for the intermediates perfectly, and it was the coup de grace.
Yeah, you know, another sad note from the British Grand Prix is that JB, Jenson Button, despite winning the 2009 World Championship, he is still without a single podium appearance for his home Grand Prix after 16 attempts, which is hard to believe.
Unbelievable. Lap 45, the rain is starting to come down hard now. Hamilton eases past Bottas to move up to second. Rosberg now enters the pits to change to the intermediates. And, of course, he rejoins in second with Vettel now in third. There's your podium. Outstanding job by Ferrari anticipating and getting Vettel up there. Raikkonen felt abandoned and pissed off. Interesting, but there you have it. Still, you know, I think Williams did everything they could do. There's no way they're going to be able to compete with Mercedes right now. Some people even suggested that Mercedes let Williams pass to give a little excitement and motivation to these people in the audience, but in the end, they had to do what they had to do, and that is to dominate Formula One in 2015.
Yeah, and hopefully in 16 also. And by the way, Sunday's race was the 51st Formula One race at Silverstone, and apart from Silverstone, Aintree near Liverpool and Brands Hatch in Kent have also staged Her Majesty's F1 race. So a great Grand Prix, great result, like 140,000 people were there.
You can compare their numbers to the Speedway at Indianapolis. Obviously, for the Indy 500, there's over 200,000 people there. But we had hit the 100,000 mark in some of the early Formula One races there.
Yeah.
So, no, Silverstone's, you know, it's the Brits. It's the home Grand Prix for almost everybody.
Yeah, plus, you know, their boy is leading.
Their boy is leading. Just what we need.
I feel it's difficult to find the words, really. I've had a few interviews to be able to do it, but I still haven't been able to find the words. I'm incredibly proud, you know, to see the British flag up there and to know that it was right behind me as well. You know, I've got two Germans who did a great job and who could have easily taken that spot. And to deliver for all the fans, which was really my goal today. You know, naturally I wanted to win, but lap after lap I could see them in the corner of my eye. I know so many people came out camping and spent money on caps and all those sort of things, and to know that they're cheering me along and wanting me to deliver for them, you know, I just tried to hold on with every part of me. You know, it was really, really hot out there, man. The grip was so bad, and I lost a lot of temperature in my front tires, and when you're the first car as well, you're the first one to get to all the mess that's on the circuit. But right call in the wets, which I was really, really happy about. So happy about it.
At the start, was there a moment when you thought, oh, this is all slipping away, as those two Williams went past you and you were dicing with your teammate, and what was going through your mind then?
Honestly, I didn't at the start, didn't feel too much about it. I felt that naturally got a bad start, but it was the same for me and Nico. I think it was just grip. It wasn't my clutch for once, and I think it was really, I knew that the Williams were ahead, but I thought, okay, now we've got a race. And for me, that's the most exciting part. I was like, now we've got, at least we've got a race. It was really hard to get close and overtake, but you know, great in lap and out lap of the pit stop.
It was almost like Nigel Mansell all over again.
Exactly.
Yeah, lap 49, Raikkonen enters the pits, new sets of intermediates, comes out in 10th place. No, he comes out in 8th. So it was pretty good. But what's exciting for me on lap 49 is to see Fernando Alonso, El Machismo de Oviedo, is holding on to 10th place. This is it. McLaren, Fernando, double world champion, will get his first point of the 2015 season. Wow. Can I repeat that? Because it's so hard to believe. Fernando Alonso, El Muy Macho, is getting his first point of the 2015 season, Nasser.
From the last point being collision. That's very, very sad.
It's tearful. Absolutely tearful. I've had to buy a whole new set of handkerchiefs.
Well, now you need to sing Feelings.
Nothing more than feelings.
Feelings. Nothing more than feelings.
Oh boy, yeah. I got to get the whole sad song collection out, Nasser.
Yeah, you know, there's a line from that song, I wish I've never met you. I wonder if that's what he's thinking about Ron Dennis.
Yeah. He's thinking about Ron Dennis. Now, my favorite part, by the way, congratulations to LCH for another great win in front of the British people. Outstanding. But, you know, so I'm thinking of Fernando. He's probably thinking of he's playing the same Barbara Streisand songs I'm playing. I have to sit there and think about the good points of this Grand Prix. He gets a point. That's better than nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. At least he has proven he can run and he can bring home some bacon for the paella.
Yeah. Now, as you know, we go to Hungary for the next Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time that Fernando Alonso, as a McLaren driver, will be in Hungary with Ron Dennis.
Wow.
Oh, the memories.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse,
how lovely it was.
Outstanding, huh?
Yeah, Hungary is where it all just turned into a complete goulash for Alonso and Ron Dennis and McLaren and the young rookie at that time.
Yeah, a lot of people are asking for a reenactment of the historical event.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yes. So, no, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to be watching that very carefully, and we'll see what happens. But it should be a little bizarre for Fernando and Ron Dennis, or maybe they'll just laugh it off.
Yeah, you know, these people are tremendous competitors, winners. I think they're just going to move on in life.
Really? Yeah, I'm pretty much the only one out there that stays withdrawn and bitter inside.
Wow.
I know.
You might want to make a trip to Reno or Vegas.
No, I'm going to go see Rubinho's psychiatrist.
Yeah.
An expert.
What's his name? Dr. Willy Weber?
Exactly.
I put a spell on you.
So anyway, I thought it was a great Grand Prix. I enjoyed it, Nas. Any final thoughts?
No, absolutely. You know, I was very happy, obviously, to see Lewis Hamilton win. And very pleased to see Williams put on such a good show. But I felt bad about them not being able to win the race. This really was their win. But then again, the rain performance was not so good. But it was great. I mean, always good to see a home guy. You know, it's special when like Gilles Villeneuve, when he won his first Grand Prix, it was in Montreal. Same with Jean-Pierre Jabouille. So this was not the first win, but home win is the home win. Really enjoyed the race, and a lot of stuff is going on behind the scene, which we will discuss in Motorsports Mondial. I want to see LCA get number 3 and then work very hard for number 4 and 5. I mean, if Mercedes gives him the car that Red Bull gave Bastian for 4 years, this guy will have 5-6 world championships.
Absolutely. The coin has flipped completely. And now Lewis, you know, Vettel will be complaining about Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton, but Lewis Hamilton has the package. He's got the edge over Nico Rosberg. I don't see anybody with the rules the way they are, the lack of testing. You either get it right in Formula One or you lag behind for many years. Okay. And that's what we've got. Mercedes will dominate for 2 or 3 more years for sure. And Lewis Hamilton will get 5, 6, maybe more.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing, I may be wrong here, but I just cannot see Nico Rosberg in a fair fight in the same team, same car, beat Lewis Hamilton. I just cannot comprehend that this can happen. It may happen, and maybe it should. But, you know, when you're a teammate of LCA, Schumacher, Nando, it is very hard to win a championship.
Yes, it's not going to happen unless something happens and he breaks his leg a la Schumacher.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you have it. Anyway, outstanding job. Why don't we take a quick break? And we'll be back after this brief message.
Attention, Formula One fans. How would you like to have access to an all-inclusive, USA-based Formula One website that provides discounts and reviews on Formula One ticket, apparel, travel, and collectibles companies? Go to F1FanAdvisor.com and see for yourself. Whether it's finding the highest-rated Formula One memento stores, ticketing companies, or apparel stores, F1FanAdvisor.com is the place to find it. Plus, F1FanAdvisor.com has negotiated some serious discounts for USA-based fans with select companies on their site, so check it out now. And for a limited time, F1FanAdvisor.com is offering their free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, so you can avoid the ticket-buying pitfalls that most F1 fans make. Go to www.F1FanAdvisor.com to see how big of a discount you can get. It only takes seconds, and it's completely free. Get your discounts, plus the free report, The 5 Costly Mistakes to Avoid When Purchasing Formula One Tickets, absolutely free. Race to www.F1FanAdvisor.com now.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of K-Town himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And Clark, this was a completely like a huge surprise for me, the news that Aston Martin may come in Formula One. Did you hear that?
Yes. Not only that, but I was blown away because they're basically rebadged Mercedes engines. But Toto Wolff has already said, yes, we will cooperate with anything. So this could become a grid of Mercedes power and one Honda and a couple of Ferraris.
Yeah, exactly. This, you know, they are talking to several teams about branding like Infiniti and Red Bull. And interestingly, the people who were at Infiniti and worked out that deal with the Red Bull to have Infiniti marking, these are the same people who are now working at Aston Martin and trying to put this package together. And Mercedes, parent company Daimler-Benz, they have a 5% stake in Aston Martin. And like you said, Toto Wolff has given the seal of approval on such a deal with Red Bull. And you know, if the name comes back, it's very good. But I don't like this rebadging, you know.
Yes, you don't know what you're looking at anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Whatever. I like saying Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Just saying it sounds good.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, it's a historical name like Maserati and all that. But they had a brief fling in Formula One during the 1959 and 1960 season, which was not successful. But their biggest motor racing success victory was the 1959 Le Mans 24 Hours, with Roy Salvadori and Carol Shelby. Okay, now
Thank
we
you.
Go to our favorite series apart from F1, Happy Dos. Impressive first ever pole and even more impressive first ever GP2 victory for Sergei Sirotkin from Russia. He almost made it to Formula One, but his Papito's check from the Leningrad branch of Lincoln Savings bounced back faster than a shot from Anna Kournikova. Amerikanski Alexander Rossi was second, and championship leader Stoffel Vandoorne, who is from Belgium, was third. This was the first time someone other than Stoffel won a GP2 feature race this season. So this Belgian kid is doing very good, and he's already in the McLaren driver development program.
Exactly. He will benefit from once that Honda package is up to speed.
Yeah, I mean, after Nando and JB are gone, Stoffel and Kevin Magnussen could be their hope for the future.
Absolutely. Great team, great effort. We're rooting for him.
Sunday's sprint race was won by Rio Haryanto. He's been in GP2 for many years now. He is from Indonesia. Rafael Marcello was second. He is supported by Ferrari. Pierre Gasly was third, who is Francais. He is the backing of Red Bull. Johnny Cecoro Jr., again, raced in many years in GP2, has now raced in 111 GP2 races, breaking the record of Luca Filippi. Amazingly, Johnny made his GP debut in 2009. And for those who are new to motorsports, his father was a motorcycle legend and later raced on four wheels, name, of course, Johnny Cecoro Sr. In fact, he was Ayrton Senna's first teammate in 1984 at Tolman. Do you remember those days, sir?
Oh, the memories.
There you go. In the GP2 championship, Stoffel still leads with 170 points. Rossi is second with 105, and Haryanto is third with 86. Now we go to the baby sister of Happe Dos, GP3. Top three in race one were Marvin Kirchhofer, Emil Bernstorff, and Matt Perry. In Sunday's race two, Kevin Chacon took his maiden win ahead of Esteban Ocon, and Ocon is the kid who last year won the European Formula 3 Championship over Max Verstappen. Kirchhofer, I believe, is the correct pronunciation of this name. He's from Germany, leads the championship with 75 points. Second is Italian Giotto with 70, and third is Bernstorff, who is from Britain, with 63 points. WRC Rally Polska, Polish Rally. Sebastian Ogier was the winner in a Volkswagen, fifth win of the season for the French driver. Ex-F1 driver and local hero Robert Kubica finished eighth. Best result so far this season for the one-hit wonder of Grand Prix racing. His winning medley was in Montreal for the BMW Sauber team. Andreas Mikkelsen, also in a Volkswagen, was second. Ott Tanak, his name is spelled O-T-T-T-A-N-A-K. Ott Tanak was third in a Ford Fiesta. Ogier leads the championship, and next round is in Finlandia at the end of this month. And speaking of WRC, this manufacturer who is very dear to you, Citroën, they have been competing here for many years, and they have decided that after the 2016 season, they will not compete in both WRC and WTCC as they are doing at the moment, but they will be in one of the two series. And next year, Citroën will also be supplying powertrain to Virgin Team in Formula E.
Very interesting stuff with Citroën. It's true because without Loeb, they're not competitive in WRC. And in the World Touring Car Championship, they are too competitive. Let me put it this way. They're hoping for some more competition because they're winning all the Grand Prix very often with a 1-2-3 on the podium. So I believe that they will drop the World Touring Car Championship, go back to WRC with the Loeb.
Yeah. And Toyota, they are talking of competition. They are coming back to WRC in 2017. They have hired four-time champion, world champion Tommy Mäkinen to lead the program, which will be based in Cologne, where they are, you know, they have this road called Toyota Alley in Cologne, and that's where their WEC program is also based. Stefan Sarrazin and Sebastian Lindholm are currently developing the Toyota Yaris. You know, all these cars are very small cars, the basic model of the manufacturer in WRC. I would like to do a little bit bigger car, like, you know, they used to have Toyota Celica, Ford Escort, and, of course, Lancia Stratos. What say you?
I agree. I like I like the size of the World Touring Car Championship cars, to be honest with you. I think that Citroën looks marvelous.
Yes, yes.
Now, I have to admit, the Toyota Yaris is probably going to be the smallest car. I mean, that car is small.
Yeah, it's a very small car.
But you know where the Yaris is built?
You tell me.
La France.
Really?
Yes, it's built in southern France, and there you have it.
So all the Yaris I see here, they are coming from France here?
Yes, and they look francophilic a little bit. When I see a Yaris, I go, huh, c'est un peu français, madame.
Yeah, you know, it's a small car, but when I did my road driving test to get a New Mexico license, I had to go to everything is outsourced these days. And I took my driving test in a Toyota Yaris. It was very nice. I mean...
Oh, absolutely. All new cars are pretty nice, Nasser. Yeah.
No, in terms of size, you know, maybe the rear seat is not very... does not have a lot of room. But the dashboard and the seat and the driving seat, the front portion was very nice. I was impressed.
I'm glad. No, I even test drove the Fiat 500 and I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay, now we come to famous last words. You know, you were talking about McLaren at the top of the program, and Eddie Jordan has come out saying, you know, that everybody's talking about the engine, but there is also a problem with the car. And basically, he said that, and I quote, that arrogance is still there at the top of McLaren, end of quote. And he was asked, Dennis was asked to give a response to this, and this is what Dennis said, and I quote, "I consider Formula One a bit of a family. Families live in villages. Villages always have a village idiot, and he fits the bill perfectly," end of quote. Which was kind of interesting.
It's very interesting, but that's classic Ron Dennis.
Yeah, but I think it just shows that Ron Dennis is frustrated at what's going on.
Not only that, but let's make one more point before I go to 50 words from the F1 Weekly Familia, is that the biggest difference with McLaren today and McLaren of the 80s and 90s is in those days, they were focused and totally only focused on one thing, and that was Formula One. McLaren has changed now. They have two focuses now, and now their focus is on the McLaren road car. Some people believe, and I tend to agree with them, that the amount of effort that they have put into the road car program has taken away from the Formula One program. In other words, they are spread out too thin.
Well, you know, they have also lost a lot of people. I mean, this guy who is head of engineering or whatever at Mercedes, Paddy Lowe, he used to be at McLaren. And, you know, anytime a top person leaves, they bring their cronies also. So there has been a lot of brain drain, technical brain drain at McLaren, I think.
I completely agree. So, like I said at the beginning of the program, McLaren won't be mid-pack for years. There you have it, Nas. But now, let's talk about 50 words from the F1 Weekly Familia on the forum about the British Grand Prix. K.H. Sin says, Williams get a 1-2, but then they don't. Hamilton does a Monaco and gets his tire stop horribly wrong, going for inters when they're doing badly for everyone else, except he doesn't. All this on a typical British summer's day with sunscreen and brawlies both needed. That girl with the cod American accent who sang the national anthem as God Save the Queen needs a new job. Leon Bray. Finally a great race. Pity about the multi-21 from Williams. Cost them a podium. Lotus continues to crash into one another. Honda and Renault have 50% failures. And Fred scores his first point of the season after he takes out his teammate. Needed the safety car and rain to restore the normal podium. Dr. Miguel. Brits honor the 4th of July with a God Save the Queen that sounded like the Star Spangled Banner. Mercedes, Hamilton, and Vettel get it right. Williams and Raikkonen get it wrong. The Massenets were happy for a few moments in a rather exciting British Grand Prix. Maldonado keeps his myth alive while Alonso saves the day and prevents Ron from bursting a vein. Yay! Well, that was fun. I thought it brave for Alicia to sing that like that. Not sure Her Majesty would approve, though, especially as she has sent her best band along who just stood in the background. The end result was inevitable. despite the amazing start and a little light rain, but it kept the attention up. BBC did a great job with their coverage, and I think the greatest threat F1 is facing, actually pay TV. Ray Thump says, good, interesting race. Rain is a fantastic curveball. Neon Zapper writes, I thought Silverstone was the best race so far this season. Had me guessing from beginning to middle, but ended up with the usual suspects in their usual positions. Very fun to watch this one. And finally from Parrothead, I think Mercedes let Williams by at the start in a bid to quiet the F1 crisis rumor. Mercedes is nearly a second a lap faster than the rest of the field. They knew they could catch Williams on the track or in the pits. There you have it. I want to thank the Familia, but I also want to mention, thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, Nasser. Nothing but quality.
Thank you very much, and all the best to everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. Any predictions for Hungary?
So I'm hoping that the gap between Mercedes and other team will be smaller. But I don't think we're going to see anybody else but one of the Mercedes drivers win a race. What do you think?
Well...
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me ask you this thing. Who do you think will finish second after Nando takes the win?
Exactly. Fernando is going to win because of a downpour that causes lots of attrition. But then after that, I think we'll get Sebastian Vettel and Kimi Räikkönen on the podium right next to him.
Oh, wow. No Mercedes there?
No, they crashed. Sorry.
They take each other out. Very good. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Thank you, Nasser. I want to thank all the listeners who listen. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse. Nothing in my purse. And chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse,
how lovely it was. Thanks for the memory of Schubert's serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing.
I wonder if we did the right thing. Oh, well, that's life, I guess.
I love your dress.
Do you?
It's pretty.
Thanks for the memory of faults that you forgave, rainbows on a wave,
and stockings in the basin when a fellow needs a shave. Thank you so much.
Thanks for the memory of tinkling temple bells, alma mater yell,
and Cuban rum and towels from the very best hotels.
Oh, how lovely it was. Of cushions on the floor, hashed with Diddy Moore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought and never wore.
Say, by the way, whatever became of those pajamas?
Huh?
Huh?
We said goodbye with a highball.
Then I got as high as a steeple.
Did you?
But we were intelligent people.
No tears, no fun. Hooray for us. Strictly entre nous, darling, how are you?
And how are all those little dreams that never did come true?
Awfully glad I met you.
Cheerio, toodaloo.
Thank you
so much.